Good afternoon, brethren. Good to see you all here. We're all excited for the fall holy days approaching. It's hard to believe that they're just in the coming weeks ahead. We've gotten, it feels like the Pentecost and the spring holy days were just in our rearview mirror, but here we are with the fall holy days just ahead. It's very exciting. The Bible is a big book. We've heard the term Biblos before. It means books. The Bible is a book of books, if you will. It's very big, and it's a lot bigger than a lot of the books that I've read in my life. It's 783,000 words, if you go by the King James Version, roughly 783,000 words, with 31,102 verses in it. It's big. There's a lot in it. And it's full of the tools that we need as Christians. We all know that. It's there for us so that we can learn how to understand and unpack what is in God's mind and apply it in our lives so that we can live more like God, be more like God in Jesus Christ. Now, you've probably heard the term, our minds are like a sieve. It's like putting wheat into a sieve. You get the finer stuff coming through, but it holds the stuff that's bigger, that's too big to go through the sieve. Our minds are like that too. We put knowledge in the top of our heads. Try to imagine we take our heads off and we pour knowledge in. Not all that knowledge retains, regrettably. We wish that we could retain all the knowledge that we hear. There are some savants who are able to retain a lot of things, remember things that are just, to us normal people, we can't remember things like that. But our minds are like that, where we put the information in and over time a lot of it just simply falls out. That's why we have the Holy Days, for example, so that we can be reminded regularly of the same things over and over again, because God understands, the God who created our minds, understands that our minds are built that way. That we're going to lose knowledge if we're not careful, if we're not diligent to remind ourselves of it regularly. And they'll get lost in the cracks, if you will, or to the dustbin of history. And our job as Christians, individually and collectively in the church, this is why we have sermons, this is why we attend services on a weekly basis, is so that we can be reminded. So that we can reduce the amount of lost knowledge as much as possible. We want to be able to retain as much as possible. Now, you've probably heard the term memory verses. I bet some of us have a lot of memory verses that we use on a regular basis. If we have issues that we come up against, or we just need encouragement throughout the day, or we come up against a trial, or we come up against something in life, we like to be reminded. We have to remind ourselves of certain verses. Here's a few that are an example. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." God wants us to seek above all things the kingdom of God. Sometimes when we're in life, you know, life's busyness gets us caught up in it. We can remind ourselves of this verse and say, no, focus on the big picture. Remember what God wants you to seek after. Seek after his kingdom and seek after his righteousness. The righteousness of God is what gets you into the kingdom. So those two things are very important. Maybe we're going through a trial and Luke 12:32 comes to mind. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's both encouraging and it helps us to manage our fear. Maybe we're fearful of something in life or we're going through a trial. God says, fear not. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the kingdom. That can immediately put us at ease, but we have to remember the verse. We have to call it back to mind. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. These are all just simple memory verses. You probably have a whole arsenal of them in your mind. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to remember to study his word, to go back and look up what it is that he says, so that we can remember it. Philippians 2:13 says it's good. It is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There's so many memory verses, brethren. I left a ton off, and you probably have your own list. But each one helps us in a specific time of need. They're key to retaining as much knowledge as possible and not letting any fall through the cracks. But the Bible's still a big book, and even though we have all this knowledge, even with memory verses, it can be hard to retain certain things. But we're going to go over one verse today. One, you could say, ultimate memory verse. One that we should all be able to remember from now on after hearing this message and never forget it, because it's not only a memory verse, it's one that speaks to Christianity as a whole. It doesn't just encourage you in a time of trial. It's something that you can think of at any moment in time throughout any day of your life and always become a better person because of your recalling this verse. You might think, wow, let's hear it. Well, let's turn there. It's in Colossians chapter 2. This memory verse helps us summarize Christianity as a whole and help us to call to mind in any situation to get through it. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And we're only going to focus on verse 7, the first little phrase right before the comma. Rooted and built up in Christ. That's our message today. We're going to pick that apart, and you'll find that there is so much to that verse, so much that can apply to all of our lives, that it will take the whole sermon just to explain it all. And what you'll come away with by the end of this message is, if you can remember those simple words, rooted and built up in Christ, six words, then any situation you go through in life, you can remember this verse and be encouraged by it and know how to handle whatever situation you're going through. So let's dive right in. We're going to break this into two parts. First part of the message will be the bigger part of the message, is focused on what it means to be rooted in Christ. And the last part will be on what it means to be built up. So let's dig into what it is, no pun intended, to be rooted in Christ. What we're going to do is we're going to pick apart about six different aspects of roots, what physical roots do for a plant. And we're going to understand the powerful parallel. God, we serve an amazing God. He didn't create all of these things around us just so that we can enjoy them and see that they're beautiful. He wants us to learn from them. He wants us to recognize great spiritual and powerful lessons that we can draw from things like plants, things like buildings, things like the animals that God has created, the mountains, the oceans. All of these things God created for our benefit, not just because they're beautiful and we can like the Feast of Tabernacles, for example, when we're all together and looking in these beautiful places that God has created to just enjoy it. He wants us to learn from it as well. So let's learn from the plants that God has created, particularly the root systems to start off. The first purpose for roots is this. They help absorb water, minerals, nutrients, and store food. So you can write that down. They absorb water, minerals, nutrients, and store food. Here's a little bit about that. Roots take up water from the soil for use throughout the plant. The root system is where it draws a lot of its nutrition. We put nutrition into our mouths, and we eat food, and we drink water, and it all goes into our mouths. Plants soak in most of their nutrition. We know that they get sun and so forth, but into the plants above. But a lot of their nutrition comes just strictly from soaking in the water and the minerals from the roots or from the soil around it. They also take in essential nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium. Furthermore, roots are able to store carbohydrates and other nutrients for later use. Think about carrots, beets, sweet potatoes. They're all examples of new root systems that store these amazing nutrients in them, and we can actually eat them because of it. But a carrot and a beet, a potato, these kinds of things, these are roots. These are roots. These are the things that are underground. And the roots themselves store all of these wonderful nutrients for the plant to grow. They also regulate how much water and which dissolved nutrients enter the plant, helping maintain the proper balance of water and minerals. So think of it from this perspective. Let's think about the Christian parallel. Through prayer and Bible study, using, you could say, the five tools of Christian growth, prayer, study, fasting, meditation, exercising God's Spirit, we can take in essential nutrients. That's how it is that we survive as Christians. Without this first part, a plant would die, absolutely die. It wouldn't have the ability to grow in any way, shape, or form. A plant must take in nutrients, including water and minerals and so on and so forth. We have to do the same. We're no different than the plant in this regard. We have to take in that information. Study God's mind, like we talked about in the introduction. Remember some of these verses that God has given us so that we can live lives that are in alignment with His will. We have to take in these nutrients from God's Word and His Holy Spirit. Asking for more of His Holy Spirit. These are the kinds of things that begin to make our root systems bigger, more plump. Think of it like a big carrot. We have some enormous, I know these kinds of plants grow above ground, but there are some enormous zucchinis out there. And whatever the yellow things are that are so big that look like zucchinis. I'm not a big vegetable knowledge. I don't know a lot about vegetables, but I know that they're big out there. They're much bigger than anything I've ever seen before. So those have gotten a lot of nutrients, those zucchinis that are out there. And so how did that happen? It's because the plant absorbed all of that in that from the ground and fed it to the fruit. It's a wonderful thing. But we have to be the same. We have to absorb as much of those nutrients as we can, including God's Holy Spirit. The bigger our root systems are, the more we'll be able to handle the stresses that the plant might take. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. Pick it up in verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, Proverbs 2:1, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. These are the kinds of things that God wants us to have. These are the minerals and the nutrients that God wants us to gain. Knowledge, understanding. If we have more of these, we become stronger, more powerful roots. Yes, if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you study God's Word, in other words, if you ask God for more of His Holy Spirit, if you pray that He will help you to overcome trials, the closer you are to God, the more of those minerals, the more of the water, the more of the nutrients that we need as Christians, God will give us. But we have to cry out for it. We have to beg for it. We have to ask God through His Word to help us to understand it. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God will give you those nutrients. All we have to do is ask. This is not a very difficult point to comprehend. It's very simple. But we have to do it. And the more we do it, the stronger our roots will become. There's a difference. You can think about the difference between a root of a little tiny flower plant, maybe a little chrysanthemum or some kind of a small plant, small flower. Think about how small the root systems are. Think about a weed in your garden. They may feel big because you're pulling them out. You're trying to get that whole root out. They may feel big, but contrast that weed root to the root system of an oak tree. We should be striving to have the root system of an oak tree. with a massive taproot that goes deep into the ground. Nothing can pull a tree out of the ground except for massive winds. So that's the kind of root systems we should be striving to have. And the more of God's Spirit, the more nutrition, the more water that we have, that we're feeding that root system, the stronger we'll be as Christians. Psalm 119. Just back a couple pages. Psalm 119, 97. Verse 97, Psalm 119. How love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Do we think about, do we meditate on God's law? Do we pray to God like we read in Proverbs 2? For more of His Holy Spirit and the guidance that we need. Do we meditate, as it says here? You through your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. When we understand the truths of God, God says that we, who are the weak of the world, we are the weak of the world. We're not the wonderful big people in the world. God doesn't call those kinds of people, generally speaking. He works with the weak, the foolish, the despised, the things that are not, as it says in Corinthians. But do you understand that even in this life, we can have more knowledge, more understanding than even the great professors and teachers of this world? It says so right here. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. But the only way to do that is to meditate on God's law. Think about God's law. Think about the truths that He has given to us. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. We can be in that category too. We're no different. We're no different than David or any of these other psalmists who've written these things that we can read from thousands of years ago. We're no different from them because we have the same access to the very same God that they worshiped. And if we use that access, we talk to God. We learn from God through His Word. We think about God. We think about the truths that He's given us. Maybe we fast on occasion when we need to. These are all great things that will help us to truly plump up our root system. So that's the first point. That's the first point. The first purpose of roots is to absorb water, minerals, nutrients, and store food. And the parallel to that is to basically apply the five tools of Christian growth. Here's the second point. Anchor the plant. Roots anchor the plant. Roots hold the plant securely in the soil and help it withstand wind, rain, and other forces. Larger plants often develop extensive networks of lateral roots that spread outward, as well as roots that grow deeper into the soil. The size, depth, and structure of a root system varies considerably between species and are influenced by soil conditions, water, availability in the plant's environment. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. We don't need to dwell there too long. We're going to go to a couple other verses. But back in Colossians chapter 2, it says this. Remember what it said? We must be rooted and built up in Christ. The word rooted there is rizō. It means to be rooted or to become stable. Stable. That's the other great purpose of plants, root systems. This is the second point, is roots help stabilize a plant. They anchor the plant. And we see that in the definition of rooted in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted means to become stable. So having deep roots as Christians, you can think about that oak tree. Very, very few things on this earth can knock over that oak tree if it has deep structural roots underneath the ground. You can't see it. That's the other point I want to bring up here while we're on it. Everything that you are hearing in this first part of the message about roots, it's all underground. It's all outside of the view of people around you. When we study our Bible and we pray to God, God says that we're supposed to go into our closet. We're not supposed to pray out in public. We don't sit at tables, at restaurants and hold hands with each other and pray so that everybody in the restaurant can see that we're godly people. We don't do that. We can, you know, if you feel the need to, you can ask a blessing on the food in your head, but don't look like you're praying. We don't need to do that. We come before God privately. We're not like the Muslims in that way. The Muslims will go and they'll lay down their mats and worship. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. We're talking about things that are inside, things that are hidden, things that are below ground. That's where our root system develops. It's in our hearts. It's in our minds. That's where our roots truly develop. It's not something that's seen to the world. We're going to get to that in the second part of the message. Remember, it's to be rooted and built up. As an architect, when I went to school for architecture, I focused on structures, things that are above ground. This very verse talks about both the things that are below ground and the things that are above ground. But right now we're focusing on the things that are below ground, the things that are hidden. So the plant's root systems strengthen and create a structure and anchor the plant to the ground. Now, we need to be anchored as well as Christians. Turn over to Psalm 112. Psalm 112 and verse 6. Psalm 112 and verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. In order for us to never be moved like a giant oak tree, we have to be fixed. We have to spread out our roots as far as we possibly can to create the greatest possible base for ourselves. Then nothing will move us. You know how easy it is to uproot a new plant? We saw it in our yard, a garden. There was just a tiny little oak sapling growing up. I pulled it right out of the ground. It was just about that tall. It had one or two leaves on it. And I was able to pull it out so I could see the entire little root system. It was about that long for the root system. And the acorn was sitting there as well. You could see the roots coming out of the acorn and the new sprout coming out of the acorn. Both. One going down and one going up. I could pull that thing out so easily. It was not hard at all. But let that plant grow for a few years, and there's no way I'd be able to pull it out because it's been anchored into the ground. It has a structure to it now. That's what we need. That's what we need as Christians, is to be anchored into the ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We ought to be that way all the time. And the longer we're in God's church, the longer we are connected to the vine and we're being fed spiritually, we're learning the truths of God, we're staying connected to God through prayer and study and fasting and so forth. The longer we're in God's way, the stronger we will become. The more steadfast, the more unmovable we'll become. Where nothing will ever shake us. We know that we're supposed to keep the Sabbath and the holy days, tithing, clean and unclean meats. We're supposed to do all the things that God has said in His Word. And the more we convict ourselves of what God has shown us in His Word, and the longer that we stay in God's Word, in God's way, the more nothing will ever move us. Nothing will ever root us out, pull us away from the truth. One final point on this is Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33 and verse 5. Isaiah 33:5 says this, and the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. This is in prophecy. But it has application to us now, of course. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. So if we build off of the first point was exercising God's Spirit, praying, studying, meditating, fasting, doing all the things that we know we ought to do personally, the bigger and more stable our root systems will become. It will help anchor us into the ground and never allow us to be pulled up. The third point is fascinating and tied to this. Not only does a plant's root systems help stabilize the plant itself, that same root system stabilizes the environment around the plant, the soil around the plant, and it can help prevent erosion. Think of this. Prevent soil erosion is the next point. Extensive root systems bind soil particles together and help keep soil from being washed or blown away. Roots create a network within the soil that increases its resistance to being carried away by water and wind. Living roots can also improve soil structure by creating channels and adding organic matter, while dead roots and decaying plant material continue to contribute organic matter to the soil. So whether the plant is living or dying, that plant is helping the environment around it. This point is fascinating to me. Because when we as Christians try and strengthen ourselves, try and strengthen our own root systems, by default, what ends up happening is you help affect your environment around you. How many times have you heard that when somebody comes into God's way of life, they just become more stable? They become more, there's a peace about them. And even if their family members don't really understand what it is that they're doing, why it is that they're doing it, they see that their lives are becoming better. They're becoming better people. They're becoming better sons and daughters. They're becoming better husbands and wives and children. They're becoming better parents. When we're in God's way of life and we start changing ourselves to form ourselves to the way God wants us, it affects everything around us as well. Our employers see a difference. It brings stability to our lives in a way that is you don't see in today's society. People typically change jobs here, change jobs there. When God calls us and we start living God's way of life, people will want you to be their employee and stay their employee because they see that you're a hard worker. They see that you have character. They see that you are helpful in a way that a lot of people in the world aren't. You don't curse at your job. You take it seriously. So because you're different, because you're changing who you are, it affects everything around you. It helps us with our jobs. It helps us with our finances. Helps us with our health. Think about our health. You know, when we live God's way of life, it really strengthens us, our knowledge of the health that God has, the way that God wants us to eat, even just by stopping eating unclean meats and only eating clean meats. People, I've heard many people in the past tell me, as soon as I stopped eating unclean meat, I had acne or something years ago, and now the acne is gone because I stopped eating unclean meat. Something as simple as that. It'll help us with our relationships, with our families, and in all other aspects of our lives. People see that you are Christians. They may not know that you're a Christian, but they see the effect of it. So Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 4, Proverbs 22:4 says this. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. When we live God's way of life, we have the fear of God, for example, or if we have humility, it says here, these are different character traits that we can grow when we study and pray and ask God for more of His Holy Spirit. What do they produce? They produce riches, honor, and life. Things that go outside the bounds of us personally. Proverbs 3, just a couple chapters back in verse 7. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says this. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. There are effects to living God's way of life that go beyond just us and our own stability in life. It will help stabilize everything around you. Even the people around you will notice. So that's the third point. Roots prevent soil erosion, and they impact our environment. The fourth point is this. Having a strong root system support relationships with other organisms. Roots interact with fungi and bacteria in the soil to greatly increase a plant's effective nutrient water-absorbing capacity. One of the most important examples is a certain kind of fungi which attach to or grow around roots, root tissues, and extend microscopic fungal threads into the surrounding soil. These fungi can greatly expand the area from which a plant obtains nutrients, such as phosphorus and water, while receiving carbohydrates from the plant in return. In other words, root systems are built to be able to interact with other organisms to help strengthen that very root system. So the parallel is very simple here. Communicating with brethren, the more we not only communicate with God and His Word, but communicate with each other and talk to and fellowship with each other, the stronger our bonds become. We can grow and learn from one another and develop even stronger roots as Christians. And again, coming back to the environment part, When you communicate with other brethren and they communicate with you, both people grow. Both organisms in God's church grow. And their roots grow deeper and stronger because of it. This is why fellowship is so important. Fellowship connects us to one another and helps us all to bear one another's burdens, if you will. Proverbs 27:9. Proverbs 27:9. Interpersonal relationships is a part of a strong root system. So here we are. Proverbs 27:9 says this. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So hearty counsel, or counsel from the heart, if you will, will strengthen a person. We all know that it's hard sometimes to resolve conflict, particularly if there's conflict between brethren. We want everything to be good. We want everything to be nice, and we as Christians tend to be more passive, generally speaking. But the thing about conflict resolution is if we do go up to brethren and we say something rather than just let it sit quiet in our minds, the connection between the two of you will become stronger when it's all resolved. It won't become weaker. It'll be better. You'll feel closer to one another. You'll feel thankful that the person told you of maybe one of your shortcomings. Hopefully they did it in a nice way. Or if you were to point out somebody's shortcomings to them, say, I noticed this about you. You say you were saying such and such. You were doing such and such. Might be better not to do that. Hopefully the way that you would encourage them to do that will strengthen them. And then they'll be thankful at the end of the day that you approach them about it. Communication is key. Conflict resolution is key. We have to address things with our brethren if we want to grow stronger bonds and stronger roots.
Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9 says this. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. Fellowship is so important to stay rooted in the truth. We need one another. We need to lean on other people. We need us as a body. So we are. We're the body of Christ. We're not a bunch of dismembered parts of a body. We're all one body. We need each other. The hand can't operate without the arm. The arm can't operate without the elbow, and the elbow can't operate without the bicep and the tricep. And everybody needs the other parts of the body to function. We need to rely on those other parts, and we need to grow with those other parts. Ecclesiastes 4, I was in, sorry, I lost my place here, 4, verse 11 now. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and three cord fold is not quickly broken. If two is strong, imagine how strong threefold cord is. So, the more connected we are with one another, the stronger our root system will be. And that leads directly into the next point with a threefold cord. Produce new plants. Roots can produce new plants. Think about an aspen tree system of roots. What they do, it's fascinating, they will create roots from the tree and without even needing other seeds to drop from the tree, those very roots from one tree can pop out new trees. So, in effect, what they're doing is creating little children. and you've created a whole family network of trees. The more trees that do that and create more aspen trees, you can have an entire system of aspen trees made from just one original tree without having any other seeds be planted in the ground. They all just come straight up from the roots. So the parallel there is to have a family in God's way of life, in God's church. God says that we should be fruitful and multiply. When we have children, we are strengthening ourselves in the truth as well. I know if I was a parent outside of God's church, I would probably parent very differently than I have in God's way of life. And I'm very thankful for the way that God has laid out in His Word how we should parent. Because it's not only a benefit to the children, it's a benefit to the parents. We're relieved because we have better behaving children than if we were to just let them do what they want to do and not behave them or go by some of the psychology of the world and kind of let them have tantrums in the just insanity, some of the things that are being taught in the world. But God says how we should train children. And so by training children the right way, it not only benefits the children, but it benefits the parents as well. It's strengthening our root systems. It's giving us, and we learn a lot about ourselves as well. You know, as parents, you think that you're teaching the children things, and we do. We definitely teach the children how they ought to behave and where they should go and how they should live their lives and so forth as little children. But you don't realize that those little balls of carnal human nature, you know, they bring out carnal human nature in the adults as well. And you see, wow, I haven't overcome everything that I need to overcome yet. But without having those children, I would never have known that human nature kind of festering inside that didn't erupt until having children brought it out. So having children not only teaches children the things that they need to, but it also helps the parents grow immeasurably as well. So that's the fifth point, is that plants produce other plants. And On to the last sixth point here, before we get to the second part of the message, is that plants communicate and defend. Root systems communicate and defend. Roots can release chemical compounds into the soil that influence neighboring plants and microorganisms, and can help the plant respond to threats such as pathogens and herbivores. Roots release a variety of compounds into the surrounding soil, collectively called root exudates. These substances can attract beneficial microorganisms, influence the growth of neighboring plants, and help alter the soil environment. Roots can also activate chemical and physical defenses when attacked by pathogens or other organisms. So, by having a stronger root system, plants physically can defend themselves. There are even certain plants that above ground, the actual plant, you've heard of a Venus flytrap or some of these carnivorous plants, they can physically defend themselves by luring in these bugs and eating them. But even the root systems themselves have the ability to defend themselves to a certain degree. So having deep roots is also a defense for us as Christians for our spiritual well-being. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. It's a spiritual defense to us to have big roots, strong roots, healthy roots. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Okay, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they wait to deceive." The stronger our root systems are, the more we'll be able to defend ourselves when we hear heresy come by, or when certain trials and tests come through. The Bible is explicit. It says heresies must needs come. They'll come into the church to test those of us who are willing to hold fast to what is truth, not what is false. If a heresy comes through, that means that its false doctrine is sweeping through, and we have to have strong roots to know, no, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says X, Y, or Z. It doesn't say whatever this heresy is that's coming through. I don't want no part of it, and you'll be stable and strong if you have deep root systems in the truth, in Christ. It protects us from trials. You know, the different trials and tests that we'll go through as Christians will test our strength of the roots that we have. We have, you know, this terrible flood in Nepal came sweeping through. Nothing could possibly have survived that. But at the end of the day, you do still see, even after all that water came through, there are still certain, you know, few and far between, but there are still a few things that have stood. Be a couple of trees here and there. But could you imagine a tree that would be able to withstand that kind of a flood and not get uprooted? That's the kind of root system that we need. We need, when life's trials might come flooding at us, will we be able to withstand? Are we able to hold fast and remember maybe some of these memory verses that we talked about to start the message? So let's turn to Matthew 13 as we transition to the second part of the message. Matthew chapter 13. This is really fascinating. Let's think about this. We all know this account, kind of the sower and the seed. Matthew 13, we'll just pick it up in verse 1. So, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Matthew 13:3 now. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Think about what we're talking about. Why is it that we're about to read some of these seeds that were cast Why was it that they didn't take root and they ultimately didn't make it? Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. What happened? There was no root that got down into the earth. Because the fowls came, the birds came and ate the seed before the seed could even push out a root. Okay, what about the second parable? Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. So think about a seed landing on a bunch of rocks or on a big rock, maybe a big boulder. And there's no soil. There's no soil for it to shoot the root down into, so it just died. Again, no roots. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth, deepness of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, it was scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. There was no root. And here we are, verse 7, some fell among thorns. Now this is where it gets interesting. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, when a plant, this theoretically presumes that there was a little bit of a root system that was put down. Some of the roots from this seed were put down so that it started to produce a plant above ground. But that plant was growing into thorns, and the thorns choked it. Maybe it didn't get enough sunlight. Maybe it didn't get enough, all of the water and nutrients were going to those thorns. And that plant ultimately, even though it put down a little root, it died. Now, we can start to put down small roots, and this is where it's important for us as prospective members, those who are newer in the truth, take heed to this message. Think deeply about it. It's important that we put down the roots that we need to in order to become grounded. Because life's trials, including Satan himself, Satan, self, and society, all three of these big S's, Satan, the devil, our own selves and our human nature, and society around us, will all three try and collectively uproot us from the truth. That's why it's important as a prospective member to stay grounded. Put down those deep roots. Study the Bible. Pray. Ask God for more of His Holy Spirit. Meditate. Fast if you need to. All of these kinds of things will help us to strengthen our roots. Connect with the brethren. Fellowship. All of this, working together, will develop those big, powerful roots. And you won't get caught by the wayside or get caught up in stony places and the sun scorches it, or it won't be choked by thorns. But instead, verse 8, one other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. That's the kind of plant we want to have. Those are the kinds of roots that we want to have. The stronger our roots, the stronger the plant above ground, which is what we're now going to talk about. The above ground portion. So everything we've said so far was hidden. It was all the stuff that we do behind the scenes, underground. The more we connect, obviously connecting with brethren is something that we do visibly. But you don't connect with brethren. Well, think about this. We're now going to talk about the superstructure. Let's kind of flip from a plant analogy to a building analogy. It says to be rooted in Colossians 2:7 and built up like a building. Buildings also have foundations, powerful foundations. The taller the building, the bigger the foundation needs to be, the stronger it needs to be. So think of the building's foundation as like a strong root system. You can't have a tall building like the Burj Khalifa in Dubai without having a really strong foundation underground. Built up means to simply to build upon or to rear up. It's like the superstructure of a building, the part that's above ground. Now we're going to get into the stuff that's visible to the world around us. The world around us sees the superstructure of our building. Architects are very rarely, known for their quality foundations. What architect can you call to mind that you're like, wow, I really like that guy's foundation. He makes a really quality foundation to that building. You don't think about the foundation. The foundation is out of sight, out of mind. Nobody thinks about that. When you think of an architect, you think about the stuff that's above ground. Wow, that's a really beautiful cantilever that you have going out. That's really neat how they incorporated the structure of the building in with the landscape, and it looks natural. Whatever. You notice buildings for what sits above the ground. And that's the case with us too, brethren. We have to be noticed for what's visible and outward. We can have good character, but if we walk around going to the grocery store in like sweatpants or something like this, or just walking, not being disheveled and getting right out of bed and having messy hair and not having brushed our teeth and go to the grocery store and offend every person that walks by. But we studied. We made sure to study the Bible that morning, and we made sure to pray. It doesn't really work that way. They kind of go hand in hand. We have to have a good inside and a good outside, if I could put it that way. The quality of roots, though, will pretty well naturally develop a quality exterior as well. So if we're reading about God's ways of healthful living, we're probably not going to go to the store without having showered and brushed our teeth and look all disheveled and so forth, unless there was some absolute necessity. Okay, but we're going to apply God's principles. The things that we learn in our Bible study and our prayer, we'll apply them. And some of those things are as follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If we're studying, if we're developing our insides, if I could put it that way, we're developing our big, strong roots on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5, one of those things that we would be studying is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. There are ambassadors to various nations, from one nation to another nation. They're representatives, if you will. People who represent the nation that they're coming from, but they live in the other nations. We're ambassadors for Christ. So when we walk outside, even just the way that we look, the way that we carry ourselves, the things that we say, they all represent Christ. But it has to start with your Bible study. It has to start. The way that we know that we're representatives of Christ is we have to learn verses like be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and so forth. We have to know how to apply those things that we're learning in our Bible study out in society. And in that way, we can become ambassadors for Christ. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5:13. These are the things that are evident to those around us. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. Think about the salt for a second. Salt makes things taste delicious. If it's bland, if it doesn't have salt, it doesn't taste as good. As soon as you put a little bit of salt on, it makes the flavor just pop. We're like that. We should be like that. Whenever we're involved in society, whenever we're involved out and about, whatever we're doing, we should make things better, not worse. We don't want to take something that's already good. Maybe there's a wonderful event going on or something, and then you arrive and it makes things worse. That's not what we want. We don't want that. We want to make it better. We want to be salt to the green beans. Okay? I don't like green beans plain. I like them with a little bit of salt on it. When you salt that green bean, it makes it taste a lot better. You're the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. We can't be hid, brethren. We should be able to go out. Lights, you've heard Mr. Pack say this before, lights don't make a lot of noise, do they? You don't need to make a lot of noise. By your example, you can walk out into the world and people can see that you are a godly person. They won't know what you believe, but they'll see how you behave. They'll see how you act. They'll see the light that you're shining on them. And they'll react positively to it. That's why I go back and say that your deep root systems help your environment as well. The more that we have strong roots, you're shining a better light to those around you. And people will respond positively to that. They'll want to be around you. You'll be an engaging person. And they'll enjoy the time that they spend with you. You are the light of the world, a city that's on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Why would you spend all your time studying the Bible, praying, meditating, trying to build these deep root systems only to, like, imagine you have a deep root system that looks like an oak tree, but it only produces a small little flower. No. You want the part that's above ground to be just as powerful and strong as the part that's below ground, that's invisible. You don't want to hide that flame. You built up that flame. You spent all that time studying and praying and meditating and developing God's character on the inside. You don't want to waste that by hiding it under a bushel, being a recluse, staying in your house all the time, or not letting your light shine to other people. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. It benefits everybody around you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They may not even know what they're doing. They may not even know that they're glorifying God. But when they interact positively with you and they become benefited by you, by your presence being around them and your light shining on them, they're glorifying God because of it. What an amazing thing. Let's all strive to have that. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's a very short verse. That's all we're going to focus on. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. We can sit and study the Bible and build these great roots all we want, but it really doesn't mean anything if we don't go out and do something about it. That's why it says in the Bible, overmuch studying is a weariness of the flesh. It can become wearisome to study too much and not go out and apply it. God wants us to live what we learn, live the things that we have been taught. Because he doesn't just want it to benefit us. It will, but he wants us to benefit others as well. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Titus chapter 2. A couple pages back before Hebrews. Titus 2 and verse 7. In all things, show yourselves a pattern of good works. Good works. Go out and do the things that you learn about. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. What is your speech like? That cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Is that true of us, brethren? Do people, when they hear your speech, they see your behavior, they see the way that you compose yourself and act? Can they say, I have nothing evil to say of this person? Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining or having petty thievery, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Do we adorn the doctrine of God? Do we wear God's doctrine on us? Do we wear it like we wear jewelry if we're a woman? Or a hat if we're a man? Do we wear God's doctrine? And if we do, people around us will see it. We'll be that light to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians about them, and he said, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Paul knew that whatever he taught the brethren in Corinth and the brethren wherever it was that he was working with, those brethren's actions reflected on Paul as well. So he exhorts the brethren, live the book, live according to God's way. Do it what it is that you're learning in the Bible. Because your actions show everyone around you that you're a Christian. You're my epistle, he's saying. They don't need to read my book. All they need to do is see you. And they'll know what to do. They'll know that they can live godly lives too if they follow your example. We can be living epistles. So, structures need to be built up, starting with the first floor, though. This comes back to those of us who might be newer in the church, more recently called into the truth, learning God's way for the first time. Maybe you're a prospective member, or maybe you're a member who's only been baptized a year or two or three, and you're still trying to put down those deep roots, trying to grow those deep roots. Structures need to be built up starting with the first floor. It's impossible to build the second floor, or the third floor, or the fourth floor, or the fifth floor, or the tenth floor, or the 100th floor without first building the first floor. Using the plant analogy, you can't become a 50-foot-tall maple tree unless you were first a sapling. We all have to grow. We all have to start somewhere. And the problem is we can want to take on too much too quickly. And that can become dangerous. We can become choked by it. It's like God says in His Word in 1 Peter chapter 2, you can turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Newborn babes, you can't feed a young child without teeth, steak or chicken. Particularly if they're too young. If they're learning how to develop and learning how to chew, even if they're just gumming it, you can kind of start to feed them stronger and stronger meat, if you will, food. But you have to start off with soft things. And there's no shame in that. That's what God wants. He wants us to build the good foundation first. Learn about faith. Study faith. Go to member services. Learn about what it is that God has said about hope in the Bible. Study faith. Study temperance. Study the things that are foundational to a Christian's well-being so that we can develop strong roots before taking on things that are even stronger. But some of the strongest stuff that we can take in is prophecy. Because it's Mr. Pack has made the analogy, it's almost like, when you're learning the basic doctrines of God, that's like an elementary level knowledge. Then you can gain more and more knowledge. Well, by the time you get up to prophecy, you're in PhD level stuff. Because prophecy is complex. Prophecy is something that the Bible itself, God Himself says, that we're going to see through a glass darkly. So whatever we learn about in prophecy is going to be, by definition, much harder to understand than the foundational elements of the truth. Ground yourself in the foundational elements of God's truth. Don't get caught up in prophecy if you're newer in the church. Be excited by it. Be excited by what you're hearing. But don't worry if you feel like you don't understand certain things. That's what ministers are here to help you. But the whole point is, if your focus is too much on prophecy, particularly as a newer Christian, try and focus more of your attention back on the foundational elements of the truth, proving why it is that this is God's true church even to begin with. Then, as the years have gone on, you will have proven, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is exactly where God is working. And prophecy, you'll be able to understand and be able to follow and come along with it much easier. But we need, particularly as newer Christians, we need that milk. We need that. Like my baby daughter has to eat. She's got this, like, these things that almost just melt in her mouth. Very little effort is involved with it because she doesn't know how to chew properly. She has developed the ability, but you understand the analogy there. So there is a final caution I will give. Some people, think of it this way. Because the visible part of a plant or the visible part of a building is above ground, it's easier to think about focusing too much on the above ground portion rather than focusing on the part that's below ground. I could argue that the best part about any building would be its foundation. Architect may not be known for his foundations, but that's the most important part. Without that, you can't have anything else. Without the root systems, you can't have a plant. You can't have a tree. So that's where our attention should be focused, is not necessarily on the superstructure of the building or the beautiful plant that's growing above ground. We shouldn't ignore it, but we shouldn't overly focus on it. Because the character that we've developed from the strong roots that we have, will naturally produce a beautiful flower. We don't have to worry too much about that flower. It will naturally be produced. But it can be easy to overly focus on that superstructure. Some people try to build their building before even putting the foundation down. Speaking spiritually, I mean. Some of us, I've seen people in the past whose Christianity, in effect, had become almost like they looked good on the outside. You've heard Mr. Pack talk about this. These people, these wonderful golden people back in the Worldwide Church of God who ultimately bombed because they didn't have good character. But they looked great on the outside. They knew how to wear a suit. They knew how to talk. They knew how to say all the right things. They knew how to climb the ladder of government. Our Christianity shouldn't just be what's being seen on the outside, what's visible to other people. I've seen Christians who are like that, and I've seen them bomb. I've seen them leave the church because they just couldn't have stability in their lives. But they looked like they were serving a lot. They'd come to Sabbath services every week, and they'd help put all the stuff together. If you ever called them and asked, hey, could you help me do this, that, or the other thing? Oh, yeah, I'll be right there. I'm happy to help you. They're happy to serve. They're happy to do all these things that are visible to the naked eye to other people. And they make them look like they're doing really well in Christianity. But they weren't focusing on the roots. They weren't focusing on their insides. And they ultimately failed. They couldn't hold fast. Just like a plant without a strong enough root, it'll grow up a little bit, but it'll eventually die. It'll get choked out by the cares of this world. Brethren, of course we should serve. Of course we should be active in doing God's work. We don't ever want to grow weary in well-doing in that way. But that should not be our Christianity. There is no point in doing a lot of good works, if I could put it that way. There's no point in doing a lot of good works if your heart isn't right to begin with. So if staying busy and looking Christian, I could say that, if you're just trying to look like a Christian, if that is your Christianity, then it's like building a very tall tower on top of sand. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I didn't have this in my notes. I was hoping I had the right verse. Matthew 7 and verse, let's pick it up in verse 24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not, we just got done with the Sermon on the Mount, all of these wonderful Christian living principles that we can apply to, frankly, Matthew 5 through 7, these are all the very root developing verses. If you're newer in the church, frankly, if you're not, if you've been in God's way for 30 or 50 years, going back and restudying Matthew 5 through 7 is unbelievably helpful in every regard, because it will help strengthen the roots that we have. So at the end of this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:24, after everything was said, he says, therefore, Christ says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I will liken him to a man which built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, because if we've laid that foundation, if we've laid that strong root systems, that plant, that tree, or that building will not fall down whenever tests come up against it. But if we are just focused on the superstructure and not building those roots, verse 26 says, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be likened to a foolish man which built his house on the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. We don't want to be in that category where we're only looking at and focused on the things that are visible to people around us, and not worrying about our superstructure underneath, our foundation and roots underneath. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, Matthew 23:27 talks about the Pharisees. No need to turn there. I guess we could. We're already here in Matthew. Matthew 23:27. References the Pharisees. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. None of us do. 23:27 says this. 26 says, you blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup. Perfect analogy. Cleanse what's within the cup on the platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. If we focus on the inside of ourselves, the outside will become clean naturally. Verse 27 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful. They appear beautiful on the outside. They look golden. They look wonderful. But are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Don't be like the Pharisees. Focus like we did in this message. We focused the majority of our time on the roots, did we not? We spent some time on the superstructure because that's important, but that's not where the focus should be in your life, just as it wasn't the focus of this message. The focus of this message was developing the strong root systems. And by doing that, you will, from the inside out, cleanse yourself. Make yourself pure. Make yourself godly and righteous. 2 Timothy 3:5, one final verse here. Second Timothy 3:5 says this. We don't want to do this. This is like in the category of the whitewashed sepulcher, the Pharisees. We don't want to have, as it says in verse 5, 2 Timothy 3:5, have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We want to have true godliness. Develop true character. We want to go out and apply the things that we learned today. So we shouldn't be overly focused on what sits above the ground, as I said. Because the stronger our foundation or our root systems are, the better the plant will be or the superstructure will be above ground. So in a Bible full of instructions, it should be easy for us, going back to the introduction, it should be easy for us to remember maybe the greatest memory verse for our entire Christianity is that of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2, 7. Let us never forget this simple verse. Let's be rooted and built up in Christ.